Wonder Soul.
Wonder Soul.
Wonder Soul.
Wonder Soul. Wonder Soul.
A scarlet costume ejects from his ring, and in a blur of motion, police scientist Barry Allen becomes the Flash, world's fastest human. The Flash, whose speed enables him to vibrate through solid walls and conquer the barriers of time and space in the pursuit of evildoers. The Flash, Scarlet Speedster for Justice.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the podcast. I'm joined here again with Bailey, and we are going to be talking about The Flash, the latest movie from DC and Warner Brothers, shortly after the James Gunn takeover, and we haven't really seen much of that just yet. But I was excited for this film, and I actually had to convince Bailey to go with me. There's numerous reasons. It's not just that it's The Flash, and I don't think The Flash is mine or yours. Favorite character?
Oh, not even close.
So yeah, but you know, I was pretty excited to see what they were gonna do.
And I had no standards.
Yeah, dude. Well, that's at all. That's my first thing. Is what were your expectations?
Oh, I had none. Like, I don't even think I watched the whole trailer. I know you sent it to me like way back when.
You didn't watch the whole thing?
I don't think I watched the whole thing. No.
Noted. Won't send you another trailer ever again.
Oh, I watch them when they're good.
What?
This just was not...
You don't think the trailer was good?
I don't like Ezra Miller. And I don't like superhero movies usually.
That's true.
There's a few that I've like truly enjoyed. But I'm not like into superhero films. I'm not super into him as a human being.
Fair enough.
Though I will say he's not that bad of an actor. And like, I almost hate to say that, because he's like he's objectively not a good person.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of people in this that I did not know were going to be in this. So that was neat.
Yeah.
Like, I went in blind, basically.
So you had no expectations. You barely watched the trailer. But you kind of, you know, do you know the history of The Flash? Like, you're familiar with the character of The Flash?
Yeah. So I love a lot of the, like, DC animated series. Okay. So I'm pretty familiar with all the variants of The Flash.
Cool. Same here. I mean, look.
Wally West is the one I'm most familiar with.
Yes.
But I did know about, like, Barry Allen.
Barry Allen. Well, see, that's what confuses people. Wally West is the one that a lot of people probably are familiar with, because he's the one in the Justice League animated show.
Correct.
That's not Barry Allen.
No.
Like, so just to make... And Wally West, there's a whole thing with The Flash, but Wally West in the comic books has had his ups and downs. He's been killed off, brought back, you know.
He's been killed off and brought back a few times.
They actually they just killed him again, supposedly, in the Titans comic. Yeah. Like, the first issue was, like, by
he's, like, the easy one to murder off.
For some reason, man, he's the fastest man alive, anyways.
But he can't outrun death.
He's not faster than a speeding bullet, I guess. Well, my expectations for the film were cautiously optimistic, I think. Like, I want so desperately for DC to do good. And, you know, I'm not a huge fan of The Flash. I love the Flashpoint paradox, or whatever that story is, as far as like the Flash going back and trying to change.
What that's called?
Yeah, that's from it's like a whole thing. They have an animated film that's really, really good, and it's different. Like, this is not a beat for beat like take on that story, but you know, I'm familiar with the Flash, and I knew that they were bringing back Michael Keaton's Batman.
So that was pretty much the only thing I knew going into this.
Really?
Was
well,
that Michael Keaton came back. And I didn't think he would be in the film much. Like, I thought we'd get, like, 10 minutes of Michael Keaton.
You thought he was just, like, suiting up and going,
yeah,
give me my
check.
Oh, yeah,
I thought this was going to be, like, a cameo thing. Yeah. And then he was, like, dipped out.
Well, you know, I understand now, after seeing the film, and we'll get into it, obviously, but you're talking about not sure if he was going to be in the film a lot. Well, marketing kind of had to change when you have your main character, your main actor, getting into some troubles and shenanigans, they pretty much...
got arrested, like, 3 times in a week. And so, like, that's, like, a PR nightmare.
Dude, remember, I remember talking to you one time saying, like, dude, I think they're going to scrap this whole movie, dude. They were not sure.
They talked about it. They talked about it a lot. And, like, I think it came down to they had had so much money already invested that they couldn't afford... They couldn't afford a reshoot. And they couldn't afford to scrap, so it came out.
What was the budget? Like 200?
220 million.
Golly, that's so much money, dude.
That's what I'm saying. Is like they sat around a table with guys. This is We just can't walk away,
right?
And he played two characters, so
and that's even worse. I wonder, in his contract, if he gets paid more. Like when actors have to play multiple roles of themselves, do they get paid more?
The only time I've ever looked into if they get paid more is Lindsay Lohan in Parent Trap. It was deep dive, but she she did get paid more for playing both.
Okay.
So I guess that is the standard concept.
So he got paid more, and I know
unless you're playing like Bruce Wayne and Batman, because then you're just
essentially
the
same character.
You get paid one character,
But yeah, so my expectations were pretty lukewarm. Like I wanted it to be good. And from what I was seeing, I was like, okay, maybe they did something cool here. Like,
yeah, but the first 15, 20 minutes was rough. I was like,
what?
Yeah.
That was actually pretty cool. We're going to get into
it. It was, yes.
We're going to get into it. That's, okay. First of all, let's go over some of the information about the movie as far as, like, we're recording this. What is today? Tuesday? I forgot.
It's the 20th.
Okay, it's the 20th. This came out on the 16th. So it's already been out for a full weekend. We've already seen all the reviews. What did it have on a Rotten Tomatoes?
Oh, I don't have the Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, I got the Rotten Tomatoes. That's right. That's my bad. The tomato meter, for those who care. I don't know. Do you care a lot about Rotten Tomatoes?
I like to see if I'm close to what Rotten Tomatoes said.
Like before or after?
After.
Okay.
I always do after.
Some people, like I know, like don't see a movie...
Oh.
Based off of what it says on Rotten Tomatoes.
I'm a horror movie fan. If I went off of Rotten Tomatoes, like, I would never see movies.
That's fair.
So, like, I always see after.
So, here, man, I just spit and you saw that? Anyways.
Nope, I missed that.
I don't know why I brought that up. Anyways, because this is a podcast, so nobody's going to see that. Anyways, I was drinking something. Anyways, I'm going too deep. So, the tomato meter is 66%.
Which is not terrible. It's above failing.
Oh well, that's okay. So
it's above
not
failing.
So it's not rotten. It's
I'm
not terrible.
I'm just saying a 60 passes most places.
That's fair.
So
that's fair. Audience score is tells a different story though. It's 85%. And you know this is a long movie. This
is
like
I think is higher now. The audience score is higher now than when we went and saw it.
Yeah, probably because more people have gotten a chance to see it.
Yeah, so this is the like
you know
everyone's had a minute to sit on it.
And it was Father's Day weekend. Maybe that played a factor in it.
I think more people
would have gone to the movies.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I think they went and saw things that weren't this.
Well, look, the movie's 2.5 hours long.
Which was way too long, if I'm going to be honest. And I am not one that usually calls a movie too long.
I can see
this
that.
This did not need to be 2.5 hours.
I can see that. Well, going into this movie, though, like The Flash as a film has like taken so long to actually be made. Like, obviously, they got the CW show. And I remember watching, like, the first 2 seasons, and then I stopped watching.
Yeah, see, I don't watch
it. Did you ever get into, like, any of the Arrowverse or anything like that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I'll just say this real quick. I printed this off, and something that I thought was really interesting. I wish I would have kept it. I had a Twitter thread that had, like, yo, this is how this movie happened. Like, here's the timeline, and it starts back in like the 1980s. They were wanting to do a film, like Warner Brothers was talking in the 1980s, like let's do the Flash movie, and obviously that never happened. But development actually started in late 2004. But what's happened over time is just different writers and directors, creative differences. At one point, the film was going to be focused on Wally West.
Which may have been a better movie. I don't know.
Absolutely. Somebody at one point, David S. Goyer, he was going to direct the movie. He was going to get Ryan Reynolds to play the Flash. This about,
I could see that. If they went the like Deadpool snarky...
Well, what it's saying here is like this was at the time he was doing the Blade movies. The Blade Trinity.
Yep. Okay. I do remember those.
And I think the tone they were going for was like the Sam Raimi Spider-Man films, which I kind of can see.
So I do see that. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that... Yeah. I don't know. There were moments where you were like, are you trying to be a serious film? Or is this like satire? Or are you trying to be funny? Like, it was very Evil Dead, though. Mm-hmm. So I did appreciate that. And that's the way I'm looking at it, through that filter. Like...
Well, look, I mean, this movie obviously didn't happen. That never happened. David S. Goyer, he left in 2007, citing creative differences with the studio. Then another guy comes along, Sean Levy. He was hired in 2007. It was going to be a lighter tone than Batman Begins and Superman Returns, which are around that time. So that kind of shows you, like, where comic book movies were back when we were like in high school and stuff and growing up, like they were different, very different. Like even going back to 1989 Batman and like Michael Keaton's and Tim Burton's Batman, like,
oh yeah, like
just different. Like that was a big, big movie, man. I thought like that alone would kind of bring people in to see The Flash, but you know, I'm wrong about that. So anyways, so it was pretty much just going to be like, you know, they wanted to focus on Wally West a lot. There was like, there was going to be a Justice League Mortal movie that would have came out, and they would have had Adam Brody as the Flash.
I forgot about Adam Brody.
Isn't he from the OC?
Yeah.
But there's like that famous or infamous Justice League Mortal that I encourage people to check out, but... Yeah, it just never seemed to happen, man. You guys can dig into it. There's a lot more to it. But even this one, as far as the Flash that we saw, I don't know about you, but it just felt like... It felt like they didn't know what they wanted to do, and then maybe they did, and then they...
So, when it started, like the first few minutes, I was like, oh, so this is funny. Like, this is supposed
like
to be
like a comedic tone, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, so this is their, like, dark humor, edgy ha-has. And then as the, like, movie went on, I was like, oh, wait, there's, like, real acting, and, like, they're trying to, like, set this deep emotional tone. And then, like, it went on very emotional for a while, and then it, like, went back to funny again.
Mm.
And I was, like, uncertain of what it was looking for in the end. And then I felt like the climax to conclusion was very compact. Like, there was a lot of front-loading, and then, like, the quote-unquote action was very short and abrupt. Mm. And, like, yeah, I don't know.
Well, I mean, no matter what part of the film you talk about, I think the thing that we'll commonly bring up, and which has been... the loudest criticisms of The Flash has been the CGI. And so when you talked about the first 15 minutes,
yeah,
like that's...
Like, that's what I'm saying. Is like, when you look back at Sam Raimi's Evil Dead, with mm-hmm. the animated deer head.
Oh, yeah,
The zaniness of it.
Yeah.
This feels like a modern homage to that. Because now, instead of practical effects, which is unfortunate, everything uses CGI. So I was like, oh, okay, so they're like, they're going for that vibe, where it's like a messed up storyline, but we're gonna like throw in some dark humor to kind of lighten it for you. And, which they did, like with the whole swapping out Batmans throughout the whole thing and like whatnot. But I don't know. Like, was it intentionally bad CGI?
That's what the director is saying. That's what people are saying.
Or was it, like, him backing up and being like, oh, fuck, it's, like, real bad, guys.
That was one of the, like I said, that's probably one of the loudest criticisms about the film, right? Is that the CGI was just bad. like very bad.
I feel like, and we have to just address the baby scene, because that's the worst CGI in the whole thing. When I watch that, I feel like it was clearly intentionally bad.
It had to be.
There are too many like 3D models that already exist of like infants that they could have used. That I feel like they intentionally made them not look like real babies.
But let me be honest with you.
Because, I mean, then he throws them in a microwave and, like, sets them on fire and all that.
Yeah.
So, technically, you don't want them to look real, because then people are going to be all up in arms about, oh, my God, there's a baby in the microwave. Yeah. And this is, like, clearly a fake baby.
I know, but people have, like, turned that into a GIF where it's, like, in reverse. So it looks like Ezra Miller is putting a baby in a microwave, and he's got, like, a weird look, and he's smiling, and it's just creepy. And so, like, people are like, yo, is that even real? And it was. But it was just, like, a lot of the things that people are saying about this movie is missing context, I think. And
I almost feel like it was talk bait in that way.
Well, yeah,
like in the world of the internet and the Reddit thread and all of that, I feel like a lot of those moments in the movie were meant to be talked about.
Well, and that's what they're saying, like, with this whole, like, claim that, oh, it's a stylized choice to make the CGI that way. It's like, we're supposed to, like, Barry is seeing things differently because of how fast he's moving and the speed force. And even when he's in that speed ball thing where he's, like, going back in time, he's seeing, like, memories. So it's not supposed to look, like, real. So
in the memory dome, I kind of always thought that.
Yeah.
I thought the intention was them to look fake.
Yeah.
Or unrealistic in that way. But some of the 3D models look like they just snatched them out of other places.
Oh, yeah. And, like, guys, we're already going into spoilers and stuff, so.
It's
that kind of discussion. But, I mean, a lot of people were really upset with how they used the CGI near the end with the Easter eggs, with some of the cameos that we see, some of those.
That's what I'm talking about. It's like they just shook out the basket. Yeah. Like, everything was just 30 minutes. Yeah. The movie was how long again?
Two and a half hours.
So it was 2.5 hours, and in 30 minutes they gave you climax and conclusion, plus all of the Easter eggs, plus the, like, what was marketed as the main thing, which was the Zod situation.
Mm-hmm.
All of that, 30 minutes. The other 2 hours, just Barry doing Barry and, like, backstory of Barry and, like, multi-universe madness bullshit that everybody does now. And I stand by my biggest thing is I think the fact that this came out after Across the Spider-Verse,
oh, it didn't help it,
was the worst thing that could have happened to
them. Yeah,
because, like, that was a stylized film that was multiverse, that was all these things, and it was executed so well.
I know.
This was executed okay.
I wasn't sure what you're about to say. Like,
yeah, it was executed okay.
I feel like when,
but when you're following, you know, that's like following up a headliner at a show.
I know, but they're different.
It doesn't happen for a reason.
Different. Like, I mean,
it's different because it's live different. Action.
It's live action. I feel like
that's not even excusable,
dude. Anymore. They should have done the
there
Flash
were live action bits in Spider-Verse. Like, they showed us clips of.
Barely, dude. Like, Donald Glover shows up. Yeah. Like, you call that, that's live action. Like,
yeah, there we go. But they show us, like, clips of, like.
Well, look, the Flash in general, his power set is something that doesn't translate really well without using CGI. Like, you can't even do practical effects with someone being fast. Like, it doesn't work. Like, but it can be better than what we've seen, like, on the CW and stuff. And I almost would have preferred the Flash to be, like, an animated thing. I wish that they would, like, go big budget on animated films and
I feel, you know, like if DC would put the production value and advertising into their animated films, would make so much
like what
money.
If somebody
and
did
they
that?
Don't even have they could just throw out the ones they've already got in theaters and hype them up and they would make buku money.
Okay, well, that brings up two things, right?
Okay.
One, James Gunn did say that moving forward the DC universe will have, like, from the video games to the movies to animation, all of it's connected. like the voice actors in the Creature Commandos thing that's coming out, like they're gonna play those characters when they're in live action. Like it's all like they all everything's connected in that sense. But I'm talking, you said the word hype, and that was something that really was frustrating, because I heard like Tom Cruise like secured a private showing of this movie and said it was one of the greatest movies. Stephen King, did you know that?
Oh, yeah.
He said this was one of the greatest comic book movies. Yes. James Gunn said it was one of the greatest comic book movies. And I'm just like...
But I think it's because they, one, they respect the director and the stylistic choices that they made.
What?
But two, I think it's because they knew it was going to be...
I don't know. It's like whatever. They owed a favor to a friend. They're like, dude. But like, look, I think like the director,
those like review fluffing.
Like, yeah, like, hey, man.
Oh, this is amazing.
Well, there were showings.
People say I have to be. Though Stephen King does not usually.
Well look, yeah, there's like these showings that happened before, and a lot of people were trying to hype up this movie. Machete? It's right there. It's right there, under director.
Machete,
yeah.
Isn't
yeah.
It? It's not Machete.
It is definitely not Machete. We're fucking that up. Those. Anyways, he's being signed on to do Batman Brave and the Bold. And I'm thinking to myself, I think James Gunn saw this movie and was like, dude, you did the best that you could with this, with everything that was going on. And I think you could do better if you just had like something that wasn't fucked up with and
a PR disaster.
Yeah, basically.
Because this couldn't even be properly hyped because of the PR nightmare it was.
Ezra Miller couldn't do any public appearances or any kind of interviews. Like the only time he did was on the red carpet.
But then his red carpet outfit, or their red carpet outfit, since they like gender neutral pronouns and I'm not going to be that guy. But like... Even that was toned down. It was like the studio went, don't you even fucking dare show up to this any kind of way other than correct. And that is exactly
but
what
look,
they got.
But look. The whole thing about Ezra Miller, I get that people probably spoke with their wallets and said, I'm not going to support this film
because of that. So domestic, it only made the $61.2 million.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then it made $3 million less than they thought, but it was better than Shazam 2, but less than Black Adam. Okay,
yeah,
I think the reason that is because people chose not to see this film because of Ezra Miller.
Yeah,
I think more people will see this when it's free on a streaming service, or will hear people's reviews more, or friends be like, you know, dude, I'd actually go, you know, see it with you again, or whatever. Mm-hmm. I personally would not. That is 2 hours and 30 minutes of my life. They don't get twice. That's all I'm saying. It was meh for me. But for someone who likes comic book movies and superhero films and stuff like that, this was probably pretty good. Like,
oh, yeah, dude. I had a good time.
But I think the people like didn't show up to the box office because of...
I think that
not
played a huge part. Yeah, I'm sure.
Like, I think that was a large, in looking at all the numbers and all that, I think that was a large part of why people didn't go.
Yeah.
I mean, that was part of why I wasn't going to go.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to make it clear that they put this much money into it, but I don't really give a flying fuck. Like, he made obscene amounts of money off of his appearance in this film. He did. That's
but
just,
what do you,
I mean,
what do, you
just,
do? Like
you
when
can't.
You spend $200 million on a film.
Oh, and that's why it rolled. Like, that is entirely why this rolled.
I wouldn't want to switch positions with whoever had to make those decisions, because honestly,
there was no win. There was no win. You either lost ridiculous amounts of money, or he made money.
Even
because
if it's
went
some
through.
Of it, right? Yeah. They're like, just put it out there.
But the point is, like, you...
But see, what happened is James Gunn...
groomed children while you were filming this. Like, I just cannot. Yeah. That's
I know,
point.
Man. It's fucked up.
Allegedly. Let me say that. Allegedly groomed children.
Yeah. I know we were talking about it back and forth, because it was a discussion that was ongoing, and that's when the whole topic of, hey, maybe they're not going to release this movie. Maybe they're going to scrap it because of... It was like constantly building up and more shit was coming out about what he was doing. And I think that's going to be a big part of the discussion because, first of all...
But I think it needs to be.
Well, of course, it does, it's but...
It's like, okay, so I, you know, I also disagree with the amount that NFL players make. You know that.
Well, yeah, like, I get that.
You sacrifice your body, and I totally understand that, but I have sacrificed a lot of my life for the public education system, and I will, in my entire career, not make 1 year's worth of some of their salaries.
Right, right.
So, like, I already think celebrities make too much money.
Yeah, I can
agree. But that being said, if you're doing shit like this, it should affect your career. And I think going forward, I think movie studios and things like that are really going to think about that. Because the numbers on this were, like, hugely different than what they thought it was going to be. And I'm talking about what they thought it was going to be once they already knew the situation to its fullest extent. It was still less
but here, than what they okay, thought. But here's, like, a good question. Okay, like, you do work and it's done, then you fuck up. Should that affect the work you've already done? Like, to a sense of, like...
In that regard, no. But the problem is, while this was filming, he was actively fucking... Yeah.
There's no way.
Allegedly, he groomed that girl. Oh, well,
that whole thing. Yeah,
but that's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah. That's where my biggest issue is. I'm not talking about you having a mental health crisis and stealing wallets and, like, and passports and doing all kinds of crazy-ass shit, spitting on people at karaoke's. Look. A lot of celebrities have done some crazy shit in mental health crisis. Mm. I will agree with that. But you longitudinally took advantage of a youth. That should affect your career.
And I mean, I get that. As
recently, like, look at R. Kelly, man. I think he really thought he was going to be getting away with that because Aaliyah was dead. I'm just saying, maybe it should affect your career.
look, Bailey. I knew this conversation was going to go in this direction.
Oh,
I
don't we think, can go back to
well, this. Well, no, I think that, saying, I think, like, it's important to bring it up. I mean, I think it's unavoidable. Like, he's the main character. He plays, like, the main
character.
Sure, but the thing about it is, it's like, fuck, man, it's really hard to... Like, I don't know. Like, I don't want to... I'm not defending anything about what he's done. I think sometimes with this art and different things, I have to go, like, it's bigger than those stars. It is everyone that works on those movies. It is everyone around. So I agree, it's just like, because
that's the Harry Potter J.K. Rowling argument. And right. You know how I feel about Harry Potter.
But so I think that they need to put something in these contracts. I don't know what a contract looks like for an actor or actress, but it's like, yo, you fuck up, you're sacrificing your share. We're going to still use your likeness. You are playing this role in this character, but once this film is done, that profit
would
that you
be
get,
amazing.
But I don't know if they do that. Like,
well, they don't. But my thing is, and that was what I birdwalked into my soapbox, but it's fine. But that was my point in the NFL. The NFL contracts do say, you fuck up, we let you go.
Oh, yeah. Well, they take money from them.
Yes. Like, you are penalized financially because these people don't give a shit other than their bank account, realistically. It's, I'm wealthy, I'm famous, I can get away with X, Y, Z. And sometimes they push that envelope to see what they can get away with. Mm-hmm. But the NFL goes, you're not going to mess this up for us.
Right.
And we still require you as a person to finish out the season. But you are going to pay us for it.
But here's something to kind of, like, take what we've just talked about. Because I understand and I support where you're coming from. Like, really, I don't like Ezra Miller.
So, hold on. Let me clarify something real quick.
Clarify.
Okay. In all of that, in all of talking about how I really think they lost money because he was a front runner, I think he should be held more accountable than he is and he may be later on down the road. All of that to say... This was actually a pretty good movie. Like, the other people in this film really showed up to act. Like, the mom and dad loved the mom. She was fantastic. I'd have hugged her in the supermarket and cried.
I don't know, man. She was in it for, like, 2 minutes.
And I still loved her.
It's like, the movie's all about him trying to, like, prevent his mom from dying in the past. But literally, I think she's on the screen for, like, 2 minutes. But look... Man, I'm
we
all
definitely off. See Ooh. More of dad.
Okay, so the thing that I wanted to connect this to is that you have this trouble with Ezra Miller.
Mm-hmm.
You have James Gunn coming in, and it's like, we are about to change everything. We're going to reboot everything. We're going to do a new Superman. We're not, Henry's not coming back. Well, Ben's they didn't not even, coming
they
back.
Put, they put him in stoic, like, picture. In
no,
this
he
film.
Was like in a news report flying, putting out a volcano, but it wasn't even, it was just Superman.
Well, and then they have like him with the like shirtless in like stationary.
Oh,
pose.
Yeah. When he was
but
doing
that
thing.
Was, all yeah. you saw of him in this, and I don't understand. He was
well, that was
the
scene from Justice League.
Yes,
you know?
No, but that's yeah. my point. Like,
so, but I think what disappointed me the most about this movie, even though I actually like, I'm with you. Like, I thought it was good. Like, for the most part, like, there's a lot to like and enjoy, but there are some glaring, unavoidable issues that happen on the screen and off the screen, but. There's no like reset here. Like, there's this whole idea that, oh, you're doing this multiverse time travel story where you could easily give a logical reasoning to why things are different moving forward. James Gunn is here and nothing really happened. Like, they didn't do that. Like, I thought they were going to recast, I think, like, bring Wally West into this. There's multiple people that can play the Flash. Like, but at the end of the movie, Ezra's still there with his fucked up missing tooth that it drops
yep.
off. It's like a joke and
yep.
everything.
That's what I'm saying. It ends.
But we don't know now because George Clooney's there. Is this the same timeline? Is this different? Like, you get into time travel in multiverses. I think that's where comic book movies are kind of getting into a fucked up range of like what held people
one
together.
One thing I want to say about all the cameos.
Yeah.
That are in this,
okay.
Obviously, George Clooney at the end was like a, oh shit, that's right. George Clooney was Batman one time.
Yeah.
Like, totally forgot
and
it for a
he's like everyone's least favorite Batman.
Well, that's why I think I forgot. Like, Batman has never been my thing. I've stated before that I'm
Batman's
not super,
definitely my thing.
Yes. Yeah. And I have given Batman much more of a go with you.
Okay. Cool.
Same with
cool.
Star Wars. Some things aren't that bad when you, like, take time. But I just never took time.
Right.
That being said, the only DC film I actually saw, the only two I've ever seen in theaters were Dark Knight Rises.
Okay.
Because Heath Ledger. And the Superman with Henry Cavill.
Mm.
And
Man of Steel.
Yes, thank you. So my thought going in this when I saw Zod in the like bit of the trailer I watched
mm-hmm.
was, oh, so Superman's gonna be in this. And then like Superman was not in this at all.
I know. They did Supergirl.
All.
They did Supergirl.
And that's fine.
Yeah, she did good.
But I don't understand why.
I,
this was
because they didn't want to do Henry.
But they brought fucking Ben Affleck's Batman back.
Not
maybe.
Know.
I don't
but
know.
That's what,
I'm not convinced it wasn't just his likeness.
Like, but that's something like that we need to talk about. Because honestly, like, previous DC films have been very mixed results. Mixed bag of like people either love them or they hate them, the Snyderverse, all that stuff. But the thing that's really making it hard for people is I don't feel like people feel invested anymore because now James Gunn came in and now you're having this multiverse story where there's supposed to be all these high stakes. And then it's like, oh, Ben Affleck's there, but we know he doesn't want to do this shit no more. And so who cares? Okay, Michael Keaton's back, but we know he's not going to do this shit anymore.
Saying,
he's just catching a check, man.
This, like,
you know what I'm saying? So I feel like it's hard to get invested. I did hear, this was really cool. Like, somebody was like, you know, here's the reason why this movie did bad. He said, the Gunn announcement killed interest in the DC universe. Like, just because there's this, all this talk of all the new projects and things coming out, right? And then it was like, obviously, Ezra Miller. Just hurt the whole thing. And it also goes to show that press tours and having your actors and directors go out there and talk about a film. That's why I think they were like, yo, we can't have Ezra out here. So, yo, Stephen King, can you like tweet out that this movie was good? Can we like hype it up through like celebrity word of mouth?
So DC objectively makes some bad choices in casting because I forever disagree with their Wonder Woman casting. Forever. Disagree with that.
Oh, Gal? But,
yeah.
Gal
Gadot? I don't think she looks like Wonder Woman. I don't think she's built like Wonder Woman, but you know, I believe in like a Xena Wonder Woman
oh.
who's like fit.
You want like an Amazonian.
Yes, I want her to look like.
Okay. I get that. I never was really a big fan of Gal.
So, but she shows up in this. That's my point.
I don't know. She shows up.
She has like political questionable issues.
But she shows up in the Shazam movie too.
But they bring her in for every cameo they can throw her in. And Henry Cavill's like, a photo.
I don't know.
He's a photo. But she's like, look, in and out.
Unless we don't know something that WB...
Oh, we definitely don't know something
knows about Henry Cavill.
There's something we don't know there.
I don't know, man.
But I think it's something they did that he didn't like. I don't think it's that way. I think it's the other way around.
Another thing we learned is nostalgia doesn't really like pull everybody in. Like, it's, you know, having Michael Keaton come back didn't really like solve the problems. The marketing didn't help out. Like, it was just like, you can't avoid it. But okay. I'm talking so much shit about this movie. It wasn't a bad movie.
But
something that I really liked about the story that you can find in like the Flash Paradox is like this deals with trauma. Like the core story is like Barry is trying to decide like between like bringing back his mom and saving, you know, changing the past.
So this
and dealing with that, you know,
obviously a topic close to my personal life.
Yeah,
but that's I think why I was so disappointed in this, because the acting was good.
Yeah, I thought
so. I'll just throw it out there. Yeah. Like I thought the acting for the most part was good. It was emotionally impactful, and the storyline is good.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of this being like DC dark and broody and like, but see, this is where I am a Nightwing and a Raven. Like, that's my DC, so I like the, like, fucked up trauma life becomes the vigilante that does good in the world.
See, like, why don't you like Batman?
Well, I do like Batman now that I've, like, given Batman a proper go, but, like, that's what I'm looking for. And this could have been that. But they were like, oh, we can't do a serious movie because Ezra Miller's fucked up big in life, so let's just throw a ton of zany CGI in and change the whole tone of this film. And that's kind of the takeaway. Whereas this was a good story to its core about trauma shaping you and about how not growing past that trauma destroys you.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's realistically what it is. And they had a good message and a good medium, and then they fucked it up with CGI by making it like a Deadpool movie.
So, okay,
what I would say to
your point is that everybody was bitching about how the Snyderverse was so dark, so serious.
I like that, though.
But,
why can't
but
it
most
be?
People, because they've been so brainwashed by Marvel movies.
Oh, I'm sorry that they got baby-fed by Marvel.
I'm just saying,
nice
like,
stuff.
But that's, like, who's winning and who's setting the tone.
Yeah, but so, Marvel's Ant-Man and the Wasp wasn't even, like, Ant-Man and the Wasp, because Ant-Man and the Wasp is, like, an abusive husband and an abused woman.
Oh,
like,
yeah. God.
But that's my point. Marvel has dark stuff.
Yeah, Marvel does, but they're
not
doing it.
And they just, they're like, no, it doesn't sell well.
Right.
And DC could be scooping up this market of emo kids across the world.
I mean,
they're like, I want to fuck up Broody Story.
But you got to understand that the Snyderverse has like a huge following, like that cult following of people that like what Zack Snyder did with those characters.
Which,
and everything.
I mean, like,
But
so
you got
he's the one that did the Batman.
Yeah, he did Man of Steel, Batman versus Superman, and then Justice League.
So who did Robert Pattinson's Batman?
Matt Reeves.
Because I love
Matt
that.
Reeves. Yeah, but that's...
And like that to me could easily be DC's tone, and then they meet this market, and they can talk about like the Nightwings and the Ravens, and even Zatanna has like a messed up story at certain points. Like, there are some really cool characters in DC, and I think that they would bring in a bigger following if everything wasn't Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman.
Okay.
Like, Marvel has all these other stories, and that's part of why
but they've
they have
been
it.
Able to, and because of, like, things like Guardians of the Galaxy, you have a fucking talking tree and a talking raccoon, and it does really good. Marvel's like, we can throw anything out there, and these people are going to buy it up. The thing that DC suffers with is they haven't been able to build up, and they haven't even got you to accept the biggest ones. Like, I would argue that Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman are more popular than any of the fucking Avengers.
But they fucked it up so many times. Yeah. Now they need to just do other stories.
But that's what they're trying to do. Which is what
The Flash could have been if we hadn't thrown CGI.
But then again, you have this like weird moment in the timeline where you have movies like Blue Beetle is about to come out.
I'm actually excited about that. I like Blue Beetle. That's a cool story.
But that was originally supposed to be an HBO Max thing. Now it's going to theaters, right? We have Aquaman, The Lost Kingdom coming out this year. Supposed to. Which, we don't know.
Time out. Hold on. Time out. Can we just point out that Aquaman got multiple movies before The Flash got one?
Yeah. But that's it? Like, I think...
He's
like,
the running joke of DC.
But this movie, like, started... Like, they started making this movie years ago. But because of all the issues, because of COVID, because of everything going on...
Maybe those were red flags for a reason.
I know, but it's like they've already... I think that's why there's so much CGI in this movie is because they had to like...
Distract you from...
Well, not distract. They had to work with it with what they had. Like, they've had to rewrite and redo. Did you know that there was three endings to this movie that they shot?
Well, and they should have picked a different one.
So there's... Listen to this. Do you know about the endings?
No, okay, I don't know.
So there's one ending that we saw, which was George Clooney. Mm. It's like a fucking joke. Yeah. I don't know why. The second one was Michael Keaton and Supergirl. They're there at the court, you know, when...
Which would have been more interesting.
Would have made more sense?
But no, but they couldn't do that because they're trying to set up a whole new Batman. Like,
so, yeah. And then the third one is it was going to be Gal and Henry.
Okay. So Henry, yes. But yeah, that would have been.
But they shot all those.
But she kept showing up in all of DC's films lately. Like, that's because, why I just, like, don't understand.
Because they canceled Wonder Woman 3 and Wonder Woman 1984 sucked.
So basically, this is their way of paying out her contract. I'm assuming they have some.
And maybe even Ben. It's like, yo, you want some money? Oh,
I would fully believe that. Well, for him, Ben. Because he looks like grumpy divorced dad. Every time I see him, he is perfect for older Bruce.
He was supposed to do his own movie, though. He was supposed to direct. Like, they even set that up at the end of the Justice League as Deathstroke. Mm-hmm. And they were supposed to set up this Deathstroke Batman movie. Deathstroke
would have been a great one, too. Deathstroke is someone that's not in enough, like...
Okay, like, we should just go ahead and say that is it so... The problem with DC movies, I don't think it's the actors... And I don't think it's the directors. I think it's the studio.
I don't even think it's the writing. Like, no, some of these are very well written movies.
It's the studios. These guys that are up in there looking at charts and go, we need to do more Marvel. We need more funny. People are going and...
Marvel has become so kid family friendly that DC is missing their market in like adult film.
Oh, dude, ever since...
And I don't mean adult film, but you know what I mean.
But ever since Endgame, I have like lost... really any care for a lot of the Marvel properties. Like,
well, welcome to the club. I was, you know.
I know, but...
And Iron Man is, like, the first comic book series I read.
Yeah.
I mean, I read a ton of his. And then I read a ton of Captain America. Yeah. And, like, that got me into the Ultimates, which got me into comics. Like, all of this. And that, to be said, I don't like the Marvel movies.
I think, you know... I want to end this on a good note somehow, some way. I will say... I think
the future is bright.
I was going to ask you, before we get into the future... Well, let's go ahead. We're already there. I think it is, too. I think, like, I don't know how these next two movies are going to look.
So, I saw...
But I think it's going to be all right. I think James Gunn will do a good job. He already, this weekend, matter of fact, he had auditions for Superman, and it sounded like it went really well.
I'm just afraid it's going to be like Guardians of the Galaxy.
I do not. He did Suicide Squad. Did you ever see that one?
Yeah, I saw both of them.
Okay. Did you like the second one that he did?
Yeah.
See, like, I think, but I don't see him doing a Superman movie, but, you know.
No, but see, that's where I really think they would do better if they would just stop, like, go ahead, toy around with who you want to be these characters. Robert Pattinson's Batman went over very well with a lot of different demographics. So you know that you could pop him in as a cameo for Batman and stuff.
They're not going to.
No, they're not going to. That's my point. Like, but that's why people aren't investing in their films. They have like four different Jokers in the last 5 years. Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
Like, essentially, Peacemaker is established. Like, John Cena, like, everybody loves him as Peacemaker and stuff like that. And everyone loves Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn. And Batman is derisive, is really the answer.
But that's what I'm saying. They could have done something with this movie.
But they need to keep the people that fans are like, oh, yeah, I like this person. Those are the people that you consistently keep, and then you keep slotting in new people until they hit, and you fill these roles. And they have all these other side stories they could do that with, because the Justice League is cool, and the Snyder Cut was good. I liked the Snyder Cut of the Justice League. It was too long, but...
I think they missed an opportunity, though, with this. Like, they could have definitely, like, set this up for the future. But I think they still don't really have it all figured out. And they had already made a movie. And it was like, all right, we just got to put something out. And that's what we got. But
maybe
that was
the problem. Maybe they announced too soon that they were scrapping everything. It ruined them making
it. Yeah, I mean, obviously, dude. It's like, it's just, that's what it will do. Is, like, you announce that, hey, we're going to go in a whole different direction. Even though we don't know what direction we're going in. And we haven't. But we're going to do something different. And this movie's premise is on, like, yo, Barry Allen fucks up the universe. Like,
yeah.
There's no metahumans.
He keeps fucking it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He definitely. Over and over and over again. And,
I don't know, man. Like, I think this conversation gets bigger than the actual movie. I think that just kind of is, like, the foundation for, like, what we've brought up and talked about. But
My summation, I thought the movie was pretty good.
But see, that's so weird.
But I still don't like Ezra Miller. I still don't like the things DC does. Like, the detractor isn't the film itself. It's all the things around the film.
I know, but, like, that's what it does, though.
And that's why I think the future of DC is going to look better.
But see, that's what's really hard is, like, we sit down and have a conversation about this movie, and it's so hard to actually talk about the movie when there's so many distractions that are, like, pulling our attention from the actual thing that we went and saw. There's, like...
Which is my point. This was two films. We saw a funny film and a serious film.
See, I don't think that's...
We didn't see it put together.
I don't see where that's, like... I disagree with that to a point where it's, like, I don't think that you have to be one or the other. I think you can have sprinkles of all these different emotional tones.
So let me reset that. I don't mean funny as in, like, comical, because yes, I think you can easily have comedic relief, and yeah, I think sometimes it's necessary. I mean, they made it zany by using the scenes. And I think you're right. I think they were fillers. I think they were distractions. I think they were things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where it was, like, the meat and potatoes of this was perfect. The everything that went around it was terrible.
I actually laughed. I had a good time. I think when we first, and look, I'll bring it back. That first 15 minutes, man, it really kind of tells you what you're in for. And I remember when we started watching the baby scene, which I really would love to be a fly on the wall and go, who thought of that fucking idea?
But anyways, I would just like to hear the pitch for it.
Yeah.
Like, who greenlit
that? That's so dumb. Anyways, I think there was a moment when we started watching that scene, I looked at you and I just was kind of like at that point going, okay, this is The Flash. And from that point on, I was like, okay, whatever you throw at me, it's not going to be like, what the fuck is this? Which I think, like, you have to go into this movie with that attitude. I think, like, when time passes, people look at this as, like, one of those so bad it's good.
Oh, like, this is going to be a cult classic.
Yeah.
But this is a cult classic that probably did better in box office than most cult classics ever did.
I will say that, to end on, like, some positive notes, I thought that, like, the core story there was good, but I think, like, you almost didn't even need Michael Keaton's Batman or Supergirl. Like, I wish they would have just done a fucking Flash movie. I thought them doing the Flash paradox story was them going, we need to reboot this whole DC thing, and they didn't do that. So it was kind of like, you brought back this guy for Zod, and you're doing that thing. And how many times have we been... Think about it, like, Justice League, Batman versus Superman, all these things center around Man of Steel's story. It's like, this,
but
fucking
you
move on.
Don't have the Man of Steel in the film. I just don't
I
understand.
I love Henry. And I love Henry. I think
you know I do.
And
I
did you know?
He represents the nerds in media. And maybe that's why he hasn't touched any of these
that's
projects.
That's why he's leaving The Witcher. He's like, y'all want to do something different than the books? Fuck you.
And he loves the books. Like, he could talk for hours about those books. But I think that's why, maybe that's why he's not in it. Maybe that's the answer.
Well, Ray Fisher,
he's not willing to lend his likeness to something he doesn't like.
So, two things. He was in a post-credit scene for Black Adam.
Yes.
And that's when they announced that he was coming back. He announced that he was coming back. And then he was like, oh, just kidding. No, I'm not.
But they bring him up a couple times in the movie.
Well, yeah, because he is very much. They have to. Yeah, they can't avoid it.
But it's like the offhand. Oh, he's still a football star.
Yeah. Well, are you talking about Ray Fisher, a cyborg? Yeah. Oh, well, that he's like, I will not work on another Warner Brothers production as long as the executive in charge there was some fucked up shit that's happened in this stuff,
but
man.
See, that's what I'm saying is I think the executives that are in Warner in Brothers are what is ruining DC.
Yeah, like, man, it's unfortunate, man. There's so many good characters and so many good stories, and if they could just get a
consistent DC tone over Marvel. I mean, yeah. I don't really like DC or Marvel. I like more independent stuff,
right,
but if I had to pick, it would be DC,
right?
But DC's movies are just so
I know.
Mid.
Well, look.
In every way.
I will say, like, it is kind of rewarding to see Michael Keaton's Batman, if you're a fan of the 1989 films.
I think the people who are a fan of Michael Keaton's Batman, and I think the people who are a fan of the Mr. Freeze Batman. Is that Batman Forever?
What? Mr. Freeze Batman? Yeah,
the Batman that has... Oh,
Batman and Robin. Is it Batman and Robin?
It might be Batman and Robin.
Yeah, Batman and Robin.
But I think the people that are fans of those two Batman movies will like this. I think
because of
like
the
this
goofiness.
Watch. Yeah,
you say zany, and I'm just like, I don't know, man.
But goofy is it's very like
it doesn't take itself serious, and then it's supposed to be like, yo, but we're serious. Remember, like we're dealing with some serious shit.
That's what I'm saying. Is like I think the people that like that,
yeah,
will like this.
Well, shit, man, I liked it. And that's it, dude. I did like this movie, man. I will watch it again just to kind of, when it comes on HBO Max, to kind of get another,
that's great.
Know.
You enjoy that on your own?
I will.
Yeah, I'm sure you will, because I won't be present for that. I watched the Robert Pattinson Batman like three times, dude.
I just don't think...
If it's a quality film, I'll give it my time.
I don't think anybody could believe you when you say you thought this was a good movie. I think, like, you have, like, you haven't convinced me.
If I don't look at the, like, if I squint.
Right. Get all the other stuff out of the way.
Then it's a good movie.
Really?
Yeah.
You think so?
But I just can't look past.
What made it a good movie?
I thought the acting was actually really good. I thought the story was good. I thought the scenes that were, like, serious more so were well written. Like, the things that were said by the characters. Like, his dad, when he's in prison and he's talking about, like, you've got to move on with your own life.
Yeah.
Like, we have lost. It is over. You have got to just live your life at this point. Yeah. And, you know, the whole, like, this one act changed three lives, you know. But in changing that one act, he destroyed everyone's lives. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just a lot of really good to this movie. There's just so much bad, blanketed, filtered, whatever you want to call it, over it, that I can't be like, oh yeah, I super enjoyed this.
Well, look, and I also think that they did a good job with Barry Allen. Like, I didn't like Barry Allen, Ezra Miller's, like, version of that character in the Snyder stuff. But I think him being with a younger version of him that was really annoying had a just... that laugh, dude, that younger Barry had.
Oh my god.
Or whatever. It was terrible.
That laugh, like.
But it made Barry, like, go, oh shit, that's how I am? Okay. And he kind of grew up, got more serious. And I'm like, okay. Like, I'm cool. Like, if you just didn't do so many fucked up things, man, I'd be like, okay with you doing this. But I was really hoping they would.
That's the frustrating part is I think Ezra Miller did an excellent job.
He did. That's what's weird.
He did an excellent job. But he. I can't praise him like that.
But you just did.
But he doesn't get the whole praise. Praise comes with the whole package.
Okay.
If I had to watch the CGI of this film, then he gets the whole spectrum of praise.
Oh, man. Is there anything else to talk about? The action's not bad, but it is a lot of CGI. I will say that. Like, the ending I didn't really care for, the whole Zod fight scene and... You know, I think
where it didn't even look like Michael Shannon.
Yeah, I think they really phoned it in. He even came out.
I don't even think he phoned it in. I think it was edited so poorly it looked like it phoned.
Well, yeah,
that's the reality.
But he's also on record now saying that he just was like, oh, it's like, you know, a bunch of people playing with action figures. Like, this guy's going to fight this guy. He didn't care about this. Like, as much as he cared about Zod and Man of Steel.
Yeah, because what he did that was good.
Well, yeah.
They just, like, brushed over, threw away, and moved past.
And he wasn't going to do it unless Snyder gave his blessing, which he did. And it is what it is. But and then Supergirl comes in really late, and she's... She's just
there, dude.
She's pissed off at humans, which who wouldn't? You know, you were fucking like locked up in a fucking Russian like cell, and you know.
Yeah, but even then, she's got like what, like 15, 20 minutes of screen time.
No, like, and I'm saying, she comes in late.
She's not saying anything. She's just standing in the background brooding.
I'll help you. Zod is like bad, and that's not cryptic. Yeah, yeah.
That's it. That's all we got. That's the only acting we got out of her. And I'm pretty sure there was a lot more footage of her. I'm pretty sure that's just what we got of her.
Yeah. Well, that's the Flash. I think it is divisive in its own ways. I think there is a good movie somewhere in there. I feel like if you go into this kind of going, hey, it's going to be what it's going to be. But see, like, dude, you do bring up a good point about watching a film like this or a superhero movie after Across the Spider-Verse?
I don't know. I keep calling it Across the Spider-Verse because like, I'm thinking of Across the Universe.
Into the, Spider-Verse. Yeah. Anyways. And that was just so damn good, man. And we didn't even talk about that. I'm surprised. We came on here to talk about The Flash.
That was fantastic. We don't have anything other to say than it was good. From start to finish, it was worth all my time.
But, I mean, I think we're both curious to hear what other people got to say. I was really hoping to get people's feedback from the movie, but maybe they didn't see it yet. So, but, you know, in time, when it comes out on Max, hopefully, you know, people open up about their thoughts on it. Maybe they changed some shit between now and then. I mean, I don't honestly think they'll
release the other endings, though.
But I think they won't touch that shit. They're like, no, we're done, dude. We've spent over 200.
They're like, move on. Don't even acknowledge it. Don't talk about it.
We've lost millions and millions of dollars. So, but hey, dude, if you do like The Flash and that's your favorite character, I don't know. Maybe you'll be biased, but if you are disappointed, I hate it for you. Like, I really wanted this movie to be good regardless. Like, I just wanted to see something. Even if it was, like, setting up, like, okay, this was meh, but the future looks bright. Which I am cautiously optimistic still. Because even Marvel's kind of fucking up.
I will say the future of DC is going to be better than the future of Marvel.
Yeah, I think Marvel's kind of... I think they need...
We are seeing the end of the Marvel MCU.
I think everyone needs to get away from the multiverse shit and just focus on, like, more grounded standalone stuff, which is what DC has for them. You know, that new Joker is going to come out. Batman 2 is going to come out. Like, those are like the Elseworlds films. And, I'm excited for that. But yeah, so we're going to probably just wrap it up here because honestly, I don't have really much else to talk about. The dogs are sleeping. We're just chilling. I got to work in the morning and stuff. But yeah, like, look, let us know what you guys thought of The Flash. If you see it, if you haven't, will you see it? Will you see it in theaters? Will you watch it on streaming services? Let us know.
I'd love good recommendations of DC films.
Yeah, I do. Like, the animated films are just kick ass, but outside of that, live action's really hit or miss, man. But yeah, well, there we go. That's it. Hopefully we'll sit down and talk about another movie. Maybe it's a better movie. Maybe it's a worse. Who knows? I kind of don't mind talking about shitty movies. And so we'll see.
We've seen a lot of good shitty movies.
We have. Yeah. We've done good to clear the palette and then see something really good and then go back and watch something really shitty. So, but yeah, appreciate you. Appreciate this conversation. And until the next time, we'll catch you guys later.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Wonder Soul. Connect with Wonder Soul by following the podcast on social media. If you would like to support Wonder Soul, please rate, review, and share the podcast and this episode. Until the next time we meet, goodbye.